This is the For Life and Godliness podcast. Welcome back to For Life and Godliness. This is episode 17. Now on today's message, we are going to be revisiting the Warriors of Grace podcast and a message that I gave on forgiveness in relationships. Now, I hope that this message will bless you and bless your relationship. Well, hello again. It is nice to be back with you on Warriors of Grace. If you will remember, last time I spoke with you on growing in love for the Lord and your spouse. And in that message, I spoke more towards the end about 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, not keeping a record of wrongs. And in there I talked about forgiveness. And that's what we're going to be focusing on today, the idea of forgiveness within marriage or forgiveness between spouses. Because that's super important in a relationship, in any relationship, but more specifically in a marriage. Oftentimes it's just assumed we're going to have forgiveness, or we don't address a problem because we assume I forgive them, or they assume forgiveness from the other person, and so it never really gets handled. It never really becomes addressed, and it never gets settled. And so, if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're going to be looking at verse 5, and we're going to hammer out what it means to forgive. Now, speaking of love, the Apostle Paul, he writes, "Love, it does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered." And I really want to focus on that last part, "does not take into account a wrong suffered." Or you may have heard it, "does not keep a record of wrongs." So here the Apostle Paul, he's using the picture of an accountant, one who would keep track of a debt. They would come to you and they would say something to the effect of, "You still owe such and such debt and it needs to be paid." Someone who is keeping track of what you have done and really just holding it over your head. So in essence, Paul is saying that love is not keeping track of the wrongs committed like an accountant in order to call the debt later. He's not saying, "because of these wrongs, now you owe." That would be what the accountant does. "Because of these wrongs, now you owe." But Paul is saying, love does not act in that way. But love forgives. Now, in marriage, that may be hard. After a while, maybe you have kept such a record of wrongs and you have become calloused. Or your heart has become such fallowed ground that forgiveness may seem impossible. And then, of course, we get into the "you don't knows," the "you don't know what has taken place. You don't know what's been done. You don't know how long this has been happening." And, you know, we know that God hates divorce, and so we just kind of suffer along with it. Friends, let me tell you how dangerous of a place that is to be, especially against the person whom you have entered into the marriage covenant with. I mean, after all, recall your vows for better and for worse. It's not just the good times, but hard times will come. Mistakes will take place. And sins will happen. After all, marriage is just two sinners coming together to be two great sinners in union with one another. But while we cannot always control the situation, we as men, we as husbands, can control how we respond to it. And the chief way we respond to it is by forgiveness. So now let me real quick give a definition of forgiveness. Forgiveness is simply a promise from love that looks over any offense with no anger or hatred. It's not holding someone to guilt or blame, and it is not seeking retaliation. So now, why do we extend forgiveness? Now that we know what forgiveness is, the looking over of any offense, not holding anger, not having hatred, not making someone feel guilty or blaming them about this thing and that thing because they've done this or that, and it's not seeking retaliation, it's not seeking payback, why do we forgive? First, because it's commanded. There are numerous places where we are commanded to forgive. So we can say that forgiveness is a requirement for the believer in Christ. Look at Matthew 18, verses 21 and 22. Peter, he comes to the Lord and he asks them, "How many times shall I forgive my brother who sins against me? Seven times?" And Jesus' reply is not seven times, but 70 times seven times. See here, Peter thinks he's being generous by forgiving seven times. And a lot of times we look at our marriages and we would say the same thing. We would say, okay, you've done this thing over and over and over and over again. You've treated me this way over and over and over again. You keep doing this over and over and over again. And I have forgiven you and forgiven you and forgiven you. And I've done it seven times. And we would think that is pretty generous. No, not seven times, Jesus says. 70 times 7. Simply, this just indicates that you forgive innumerable times. Joel Beakey says it's something to the effect of the perfection of unlimited numbers. The perfection of an unlimited amount of time to forgive. You continue to do it. Hear what Dr. John MacArthur has to say about forgiveness. He says, forgiveness is required of the believer because forgiveness is the most God-like thing a Christian can do. No act is more divine than forgiveness. Never are we more like God than when we forgive. So it is required. Next reason we forgive is because God has forgiven us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. And here we're going to tie this back into number one, the innumerable times we are commanded to forgive. Because how many times do we ask forgiveness from the Lord for our sins? But not just our everyday sins, those little mundane sins that we think are no big deal. But what about our sins of idolatry, where we take good things and we make them God things. We worship these things. We can call this spiritual adultery. And yet, the Lord still comes after us. He still pursues us. He still draws us in. He forgives us when we turn to Him and ask for it. Think of Hosea. Hosea marries Gomer. Gomer is a prostitute. He gives Gomer everything, and yet she still desires to turn aside and seek after her old way of life. And what does the Lord tell Hosea to do? Go after her. Speak to her tenderly. Lead her into the wilderness. That is a picture of really what God does with us. When we continually turn aside every day to pursue our own desires, yet He comes after us. He speaks to us tenderly. He draws us to Himself, and He forgives us. He dresses us in the finest linens, and He has given us the best name. We forgive much because God has forgiven much. And He forgives much every single day. Who are we to look at our spouse who has committed a sin, committed a wrong against us, and say, I can't forgive you? And yet look at God and the egregious sins we commit against Him and go to Him and beg for forgiveness and then expect it. Who do we think we are? We forgive because God has forgiven us. Third, we forgive for our own souls. Forgiveness frees us. It prevents our hearts from becoming hardened and bitter. And once it has become bitter, it acts like a swamp. And nothing good ever grows in a swamp. That's where you have a body of water feeding another body of water that just sits there and becomes stagnant. And then it grows bacteria. Much like when a wrong is done to us, it comes in, we don't deal with it, it sits, we dwell on it, and then it begins to fester and grows bacteria, which is displayed through our actions. The things that we say, the things that we do. And even not just towards others, but also towards God, we end up neglecting Him. We neglect our prayer time. We neglect our Bible reading time. We may even neglect church or Bible studies in small groups because we have let something come in, take up residence in our heart. We've let it sit there, grow, fester, become but bacteria, and then it affects us. We must be set free by forgiveness. Forgiveness breaks up that fallowed ground in the heart and allows the grace of God to minister in whatever situation it is. Now, the fourth reason that we forgive is because we're not perfect. When we sin, men, when we sin, or we make a wrong, we desperately desire forgiveness, and we desire it quickly. And yet, why are we so quick to desire to be forgiven and not to extend forgiveness? Mainly because we think much of ourselves. We think too highly about ourselves. We don't die to self. We don't recognize that because God has forgiven us, we therefore must forgive much. And we must forgive much quickly because God forgives us quickly. He doesn't wait, withhold forgiveness in order to see what we're going to do, to decide whether or not He's going to extend forgiveness. No, when we as His children come to Him and we ask for it, He gives it. When we sin, we go to someone. When we sin against our spouse, we go to them and we quickly desire forgiveness. We want it to be erased from their memory and not held against us. But then we are not so quick to extend the same grace. And it's at that point we become hypocrites. We must die to self because we are not perfect. If we desire to be forgiven quickly by others, then we must be quick to extend forgiveness. And now the last thing that I will leave you with in talking about forgiveness is that we cannot let the words be empty. When we desire to extend forgiveness, we know that it's the right thing to do. But how often are we true in our forgiveness? Do we actually believe it? Do we actually extend forgiveness, or do we just extend the lip service to forgiveness? We say we forgive you, but in our hearts, we really don't. We're really harboring the hurt. We're really harboring the bitterness. We're secretly plotting, and we're actually keeping the record of wrongs in our minds so that at a later date we can bring it before you and say, remember when you did this. If we say we're going to forgive, then we must forgive. They can't just be empty words. Forgiveness is a heart position. It's not just a mind decision. It's a heart position that says, I'm not going to hold this offense against you. I'm not going to let this offense view how I see you. I'm going to wipe it off. I'm going to clear the debt. I'm going to get rid of it. And I'm not going to seek retaliation. I'm not going to be angry. I'm not going to be bitter. I'm not going to have a hatred. But instead, I'm going to love you. So men, when those times of conflict come, and they will come, I promise you, they will come. Be quick to extend forgiveness. Now, this doesn't mean that you have to not talk about it. Whatever the situation is, talk about it. Get information. Why? What was going through your mind? Let's address this. How could we have made it better? How can we avoid this in the future? It's okay to talk about it. Go to Scripture. What does God say about this situation? But forgive. So after all of that, after all the talk, say, okay, I understand, I see what was going on, and I forgive you. I'm not going to hold this against you, but I forgive you because I love you. And that is my heart position. So men, when those times come, be quick to have a heart position of forgiveness.
For Life and Godliness is a production of Servants of Grace. If this podcast has blessed you in any way, let us know by leaving a review. We'd love to hear from you.